Hello, welcome to the podcast. And today we're going to just be talking about communism, fascism, a lot of extremist ideologies. And then the next 30 minutes, this is only going to be 15. And then in the next 15 minute half, I'm going to be talking about tanks. So, and in the next, then after this, in the second part of this 1 hour special, I'm going to be talking about World War II, because that's what I do now. That's my life. I'm going to have to suffer. But I also, actually, one thing I got to admit, I do have a sponsorship, though, from Anchor. Anchor is a free streaming service for podcasts that is easy to use, free, big free, is on multiple platforms, which I'm surprised that they can literally sell multiple platforms and stay free. You can get monetized on it. I know all you broke people who are listening to this need some money. I'm not talking to you, Granville. Granville, you're stacked. But a lot of people who are my age who are absolutely broke, such as me, moi, and pretty much monetization. Nice. Anyways, let's move on to the communist stuff, because, oh boy, communism, isn't that great? So, communism, what is it exactly? It's a radical leftist ideology that believes everyone should get paid equally amount and should get shared the wealth of the state, and the government controls most of everything, but everyone gets paid no matter what they do. You don't have to work technically. You get everything free. Imagine Anchor, but free. Anchor's free already, but imagine Anchor, but life, or War Thunder, but life. I mean, you can pay to win to get to the top. Say you're a commissar, and you're like, say you're a normal citizen, and you're like, I want to become a commissar, and there's corruption in the party, which there always is corruption in the party, and you can be like, I want to get a premium, and then you're premium, and you're commissar, and you can't get touched unless the leader decides you're too big of a risk and kills you in a death camp. Fun stuff, right? So, communism. Let's start with the base communism, the Communist Manifesto. The Communist Manifesto is a book written by multiple authors, but the two most prominent is Frederick Engels and Karl Marx, Karl Marx being the most famous of the two. Karl Marx was an idiot, so was Frederick Engels, and communism sounds, I'm going to explain this in depth real quick. Communism sounds really, really, really good on paper, but isn't good in practice. It doesn't work, you could say, because there's no will to work. You don't need to work because you're getting paid the same amount no matter what you do. And everyone's out. And I hear people use... I mean, capitalist is a good term, but it was coined by communist. Exactly. Americans using a term coined by capitalist as a mockery or an insult to them. What does this remind me of? Yankee Doodle. That's an interesting tale about Yankee Doodle, and I'm not going to get into it, but I'm just saying that. And the first communist state was the Soviet Union. Honestly, the most iconic. There have been many communist states, or socialist states, you could call it, because then again, wasn't true socialism, which everyone thinks there's some true version of socialism. I'm gonna go into a tangent with that again. With that also later. So, communism is not very smart. It sounds good on paper, like, oh, I get paid all this, but where are all the goods, everything that you need to use that money with, that currency that is used to buy goods? Where do you get it when no one wants to work? Exactly, you get it nowhere. So, the government seeing, oh, crap, but no one's working, because That's what it all devolves down to. They make a secret police, or they make military. It either changes to a military dictatorship, or just becomes an outright totalitarian communist state. Say the Soviet Union. Stalin grasped it by its hold. And, I mean, even Lenin used the NEP, a brief capitalist stint. Companies were allowed to make business in Russia. And Stalin was such a fervent communist that he literally, as soon as he took power, canceled that plan and forced everyone onto collective farms. I'm not even going to say how many died in the collective farming effort. Many did. I believe it was called the Holodomor. Millions died in Ukraine from the Holodomor is pretty much millions in Ukraine died because all their crop was being taken away to feed the workers in the city. And even the workers weren't going to escape Stalin's wrath because they were forced to make impossible quotas. And if you didn't meet your quota, you'd either be shot or sent to a prison camp, a gulag. Later on, the Soviet Union did get better. Say, when Mikhail Gorbachev took control in the 1950s. And he went through a period called de-Stalinization. But still, the same economic problems plagued the Soviet Union. Well, I mean, mind you, the secret police was still very, very prominent. And Gorbachev was very, very adamant about making... I think it's Mikhail Gorbachev. No, it's not Gorbachev. Let me remember his name. Khrushchev. Being stupid, because I'm dumb. Khrushchev, place all the what you heard with Khrushchev, because I'm dumb at the moment. He wanted the Soviet Union to be happy that Stalin was out of power. And he banned many things that people would perceive as having enjoyment in. And honestly, Khrushchev wasn't a bad person. It's just he still kept the secret police around. He still kept that iron fist on the Eastern Bloc at the moment, which, ask anyone from Poland, that communism or fascism isn't good still. Didn't work out. Communism didn't work with Poland, and I don't think they have a very good affinity for fascist, because Germany. And there's this notion that Soviet Union wasn't real communism. There's no such thing as real communism. There's stupid communism and there's stupid communism. There's no good way to perceive communism. It doesn't work. It will never work. And you can't say it will. And that's what I find stupid. People are so ignorant to this fact. Look at history. Look at it, you retards. I'm going to be using strong language in the D-pots. The D-pot. That's just for you, Granville. You hear that fucking shit? I'm going to be very prolific in what I'm going to say. So this is going to be a very prolific series. Explicit warning. 8 minutes in. Well, anyways. People don't understand this. But communism will never work because people. Man is too lazy and greedy to let communism exist. Capitalism, on the other hand, you can work for what you want. And you can get... capitalism has that eventual... America, at least. There's a lot of capitalist states which are crooked as hell. I won't deny that. Where you can... If you work hard enough, you can go from rags to riches. And that's great. But in a communist state, you're a worker, you're a commissar, or you buy your way to the top. And the fact, communism is inherently capitalistic because you can buy your way to the top. Or you can slot in favors, or you can literally become a crime boss. Some communist states literally just become so crime-ridden that it's impossible to go anywhere without getting mugged. someone was turned communist and literally got some of the worst crime problems ever to exist. Brazil. Now, literally, Brazil's scary. It's honest to God scary. There, so many people were put into poverty because of communism. Because some plucky politicians decided to take power with communism, and in the end, they were found guilty on multiple charges of treason. And then, don't even get me started about the good communist Bernie Sanders, the democratic socialist. There's no democratic socialist. You're socialist or socialist. There's no such thing as a democratic socialist. I'm sorry. It's such bullshit. There is no democratic socialist. You're either socialist or socialist because it's usually a one-man, one-party state. How can that be a democracy? A democracy. When you are literally the state. You're the state. You're one party. Communism is literally a one-party system. You literally can't have a democratic state that's communist. One of my favorite jokes from a YouTuber was. So one YouTuber asked him, why if you're truly a democratic socialist, why isn't there another party? No, we're just. And then the other YouTuber replied, who was playing a communist state. They're not really communist. It was Hoi for a match. But they said, oh, our party is just too good. No one else wants to run. I'm like, that's great. That's great. So, and then I don't understand why people have this idea that communism will work. Communism will work. If they don't force the people to work, no one does anything. No one. And then once all the fortune of that country is drained, descends into complete fucking anarchy. Anarchy 100. And it's funny that this notion people think, oh, I'll be able to get my pay and my food without anything. You'll starve to death and then you won't get your pay. Because you're gonna be waiting in that food line with everyone else. And remember, bread lines are a good thing in Bernie Sanders' eyes. It's better to get fed than have the rich take all the food and the poor are left to starve. I'm like, Bernie, look at fucking Venezuela. It's communist. And the rich get to eat and the normal workers don't. Guess what the rich told the poor? Boil rocks or anything that's edible. That's the state they're in. Boiling motherfucking rocks. Don't spin that, ooh, communism is good bullshit with me. It's not. Never will be. And don't get me started on the bastard child of communism, or as people like to call it, fascism. When you have a party that, it's just, fascism, I've never really gotten into it, but I've read Mein Kampf before, and I've also read the Communist Manifesto. Mein Kampf's not a good book. Not in the, like, bad moral sense. It's morally, it's bad, too. But it's not very good with the writing, either. I don't know how you can consider it good writing, either. It's not. It's the worst writing I think I've seen in a book. At least I'm not talking about Nizian's book. Nizian's book is trash. Burning dumpster fire bad. Fanfic bad. Don't know how it got released. Guess they're selling books because his name's on it. And fascism is pretty much, it's totalitarian usually. Nationalistic. It's, what's really the difference with fascism? It's very nationalistic. Rather than, say, communism, which is very, you're atheist, you don't care about your country, you're supposed to spread the revolution. Antifa just screaming. Like, I remember there's like an Antifa horde guess you'd call it a riot in Portland. And I was literally, and one kid got his face pepper sprayed, and I was just thinking, mom's going to kill, and I was just thinking, what's running through his mind? Mom's going to kill me, or my revolution. I'm like, probably my revolution if he's at an Antifa rally. And don't even get me started on the Antifa pricks. They're idiots. They're complete idiots. They're so brain dead. Anti-fascist. I mean, some of them are just good old anarchist. Can't get enough on that. Most are communist. And one thing that I've loved is that they declared it a literal terrorist organization. Let me look up what date. Let me see, what year did they indoctrinate Antifa into a terror? Is Antifa? I'm looking stuff up right now, so sorry. 2016. That's when they started. They are very, very weird. Antifa's a general. Oh my god, I'm looking at a fucking Antifa sticker right now. Abolish capitalism, anti-fascist, action, smash fascism. God, these idiots don't know what fascism is, do they? And most are communists. Also, they are a terrorist organization of 2018. Since 2018. And they are a bunch of idiots. And if someone from Antifa is talking to me right now, is at my school, comes to my school, and tries to beat me up, I will fucking find you, hunt your ass down, and literally beat you to a bloody fucking pulp on the sidewalk till you look like a goddamn Picasso painting. Don't fuck with me. You come after my friends, you come after my family, I don't care if you come after me, you come after someone I care about, I'm gonna kill you. I don't care about me. You can beat me up all you want. But if you go after someone I care about, I'm going to beat you up. I doubt anyone from Antifa is going to listen to this. And by the way, Granville, this is a serious podcast I do. You may find it dorky. You may find it fucking stupid. But I'm going to get into it, and I'm going to be very prolific about what I'm doing. So, back to Antifa. Antifa is a retarded organization of special little boys and girls who think communism's good. And that it works every day to Sunday. Enough said, let's move on. So, EU. The globalist fucks in the EU. I'm glad Brexit has happened. I'm very glad. I'm talking to European politics. If you don't like European politics, you can literally just skip ahead. Because I'm going to skip off European politics. The European Union is gay, stupid, retarded, everything above. France, stupid, literally has most European ISIS fighters are French. I can just hear France crying in the background that all of our people, all of our teens are dying, and I'm like, yeah, they're all joining ISIS, and they just say, no, there are not, and I'm just like, no, they are. Statistics show. Also, if my mic sounds shit, please tell me in the chat. Well, not in the chat, but in the messages, like the fucking comment section. Is that it? Yeah, that's the comment section. I was just being a little special myself. The EU is a bloated mess of bureaucrat politician bullshittery. And a lot of them don't understand anything about modern politics. At least they think it's going to be the same as, say, the 1970s when they were all fighting against the Soviet Union. They were just like, ah, Soviet Union bad, and now they're just like full-on leftist liberalist bullshit, where they're just like, Communism good, capitalism bad, and all that globalist bullshit rhetoric that they spout. Merkel, I'm looking at you. If you don't know who Merkel is, look it the fuck up. I don't know how, if you're staying here for the European politics section, you're fucking weird if you don't know who Merkel is. And I'm glad that Brexit finally happened. Clap, clap, clap for Britain. They finally got out of that shit show. And why would you stay in the EU for that long? Well, Theresa May said Brexit was going to happen. And then everyone who tried to make Brexit happen kept delaying and delaying and delaying. And then as soon as someone gets elected, it finally happens. I'm glad it happened because Britain got out of that shit show. Because I know as soon as Britain leaves, everything's going down from the EU. It's not going to be a good sign too. It's going to go like a burnt. It's going to be like the Hindenburg. Also, talking about Germany. So, Germany, when you go in communist, Germany is insanely leftist. It's like they don't know how to... mind you, not most Germans. Most Germans are not insanely leftist. And not all Germans are insanely leftist, but a lot are. And some believe in communism. I'm not calling out any Germans. I have some German friends. I could hardly care if you're fucking communist. If you're a friend, you're a friend. If you're like one of those communists who just doesn't really care, well, still, I don't like you for your political views. I like you for your personality. But if you're like one of those retarded Antifa fucks, I'm not probably friends with you. Funny. Like, it's just weird that a lot of the German populace believe that shit. And don't forget, don't get me started on our way in Sweden. Sweden is a socialist hellscape. Oh, it's a supposed... Let me set my water bottle down. Socialist utopia. That's what the media calls it. Norway is also a socialist utopia. And then Finland? They don't even talk jack shit about Finland. Because Finland doesn't have a very good run-in with socialism. If you can't tell. I'm looking back to the Winter War. Well, starting from here, we're going to be talking... We're going to be talking about tanks. Specifically, production-wise on World War II. Production of World War II's tanks. And if you guys want me to talk more politics, you can leave it down in the comment section below of this podcast. So, let's start with the baseline. We're going to start with German tanks for this podcast because, don't even at me, I like German tanks quite a lot just because they are nice. Russian tanks are also quite nice. I'm not dissing any other country tanks. American tanks are nice. A lot of tanks are nice. You know, most major powers have nice tanks, except Britain. Britain can go fuck itself. I know I was just talking all sweet to Britain, and then just now, like, Britain, go fuck yourself. A lot of their tanks from... At the end of the war, their tanks were great. I mean, the beginning of the war, mid-war, it's like mid-war relying on American stuff. They're relying on British stuff in the beginning, because... But didn't go very well against anything that it's just Britain tanks at the beginning. Just look them up. They're retarded. Well, it starts with the German. Let's start with the German tank program. And I have 6 minutes to talk about this. I'll summarize it quick. Germany starts a tank program with the Soviet Union. So they're naturally, they're starting there. So I think it's a lot of failed prototypes with Germany and the Soviet Union's joint program. And then they go into, and then Germany gets actually one nice prototype, which is the Grobstrakter, which later turns into the Panzer I, and pretty much evolves from there. You get the Panzer II, the Panzer III, the Panzer IV. I'll talk about the Panzer I. The Panzer I was mainly made to be a training tank, so when Germany is at war and starts producing its own tanks, it will just be used as training. So German tanks operate, German tank crews or German troops know how to use tanks. And in the end, when Hitler takes power in 1933, and the Panzer II's already around by this point, and it has a 20mm autocannon. So it's Germany's first proper tank. Well, I mean, not proper, not doesn't have cannon yet, but first proper tank with an actual gun that can pierce other tanks. It doesn't have very good armor. The thing is, with early German tanks, you have this base underlining fact of the no armor. So Germany produces these Panzer 1s and Panzer 2s. And then when they invade Czechoslovakia, well, they have the Panzer 3 by this point, which is nice. They have the Panzer 3 by this point, so. Wait, let me look something up real quick. Yeah, so when Hitler took power, he had the Panzer II, and then, like, soon after, the Panzer III came along. And by this point, they were going into Czechoslovakia with Panzer IIIs, Panzer IIs, Panzer Is. And eventually, they got the Panzer 38T, which was literally the Czech... I can't remember what the Czech... I can't remember its name. God damn it. I'm fucking having a mental stroke. I'm pretty sure it was not the Panzer 35T. I think it was... It's the Panzer 35T and then turns into the Panzer 38T. But it was the VZ 35. So it eventually got turned into the Panzer 38T. Germany modified it. And then they move on to the Panzer IV after this, after invading France, of course. They move on. Well, they have the Panzer IV when they're going into France, but it's early versions, like the C and E models. So they're going into France with those models, and the Panzer 38Ts, and Panzer Is, Panzer IIs, Panzer IIIs, all that stuff. And Germany, these were all really... By this point, the Panzer I and Panzer II were showing their age. Panzer III was still pretty good, surprisingly. The Panzer I and Panzer II were showing their age. And mind you, these tanks were really light and really didn't have too much armor. But Germany used one special thing that most nations didn't have at this time, which makes you... And this is a common staple of military technology. Radios. Two-way radios. A lot of tanks either had one radio talking to the commander, but the commander couldn't command back. Well, the commander would command them, but the crews couldn't talk back. With this, German tank crews could communicate positions of other enemy tanks, could communicate what's going on around them to their commanders, and the commanders could communicate right back. This was actually pushed by Erich von Manstein, who actually was a former communications officer, and was a staff officer, of course, and then worked his way up to commanding tanks and this common staple of military technology, having radios on every tank, really boosted the speed and agility at which Germany could take over positions. Also, tablets. I can't remember what the tablet was. They had some tablets that had them stay awake so they could work, so they could advance through the night. And I find that really interesting, that they would take tablets to advance and advance and advance without relent. I find that really interesting. And we're nearing the end of the first part, so I'm going to stop talking here. I'll talk more about it later, but this was the D-Pot. It's not ending yet, but I hope you enjoy it. Also, don't forget, a message from our sponsor, Raid Shadow Legends. Play it for free today on PC, mobile, Mac. Also, a sponsor from our other sponsor, Dollar Shave Club. Look as fine as I do with a shave. Also, honey, get free discount, coupons, codes, everything there. Everything good. And I can't forget Wish.com. Wish.com, get all of your cool stuff. This was the D-Pot. Hope you enjoy, you jolly motherfuckers, and bye.